We'll desire your prayers again this morning, as always. Appreciate the faithfulness of the Lord to visit us when we're in need of Him, and He's truly faithful to all of us. So on the onset this morning, I have a little trivia question to ask you. I'd like some input. It's specifically for folks that pay attention to driving on highways and interstates. There's a particular detail that I want to see if what you all think about. And it is, you know the little dash lines on the highway? In fact, I'll just briefly draw it up here just so we can make sure we're on the same page here. So I've drawn them there in the middle. So I'm just curious, and I would like some input. If you've read this recently and know it with absolute, just refrain, kind of let everyone else, you know. So anyway, but how long are those dashes on the highway? Anybody throw some guesses out?
Just
20. Wow. Okay. 3 foot. All right. I like the contrast here. Anyone else?
Six.
Okay. We'll get another couple more here. Someone say 7 or maybe I'm a sitter. Anyway, we got some a good variety there. Okay, so the correct answer is 10 feet. So a little extreme either way, but that's all right. That's okay. So I'm going to put, I just know they're longer than they look.
Yeah.
Right? So it's 10 feet long. So the next question is, how far apart are these stripes? I'm sorry, right here, in between the dashes, what is that distance there? 2 feet? Okay. 10 foot.
10 foot.
10 foot. Okay. 20. All right. Well, what would you guys say if I told you this? 30 feet. So, just to, pretty bizarre, isn't it? All right, so I got a trusty little tape measure here. So just to get a perspective of 10 feet, I'll just show you what 10 feet is. So that's 10 feet. So just above the flowers up there. So that's 10 feet. So that's how long one dash is. Now, this is not a 30-foot tape measure, but an approximate distance is to roughly where Michael is at is about 30 feet, roughly. From me to him is about 30 feet. So imagine the dashes on the highways 30 feet apart and 10 feet long. Does it really look like that? No, it doesn't. I was shocked myself. I was guessing about half of those distances, roughly 5, roughly 15 or whatever. I'm like, I had no clue it was that long. So then then the obvious question is, why does it appear that way? Anybody know why? It's your perspective and what was the other thing?
Speed.
Very good. Because, if you've gone, okay, maybe we won't go there, but if you've gone fast enough, they look like a solid line, all right? Okay. But to be fair, here's something interesting. Now that drone footages are much more prevalent, I've seen some drone footages, traveling over a vehicle and just one that's going regular 55 mile an hour. And you can see, next time you see some drone footage over a highway, pay attention and look at the stripes. They are a huge gap, but up from that perspective, up above it, looking down over it, it's like, oh, well, yeah, they're long and there's a big gap. But when you're driving, again, when you're just right next to these stripes, these lines and the dashes, it looks like they're really close. Here's another one. You know, I saw a top view of the big arrows that they paint on the highways as well. On turning lanes, they are really long, and the little pointed part is really fat. It's like, what? From the top view. But driving up to it, it looks totally normal, just like a regular little arrow. It's no big deal. But it's totally different. You see the true shape, the true length of everything, when you can get up above it all and look at it in that perspective, like, okay, that's what it is, okay? So, you guys are probably ahead of me. You know, in life, things happen that way too. From our perspective, when we're cruising along through life at various speeds, as in we all have different lives, different stages we're all in, but things look differently when we're cruising on the road of life, and it looks like this, you know, sometimes it looks like the dash is only 3 foot long and only 10 feet in between them, or it looks like a solid line. Whatever the case is, we can't really distinguish exactly what it looks like and exactly what it is for the truth that it is. But folks, we can get up above it, so to speak. We can see clearly and truly what is at stake and what's happening, and we can deal with it accordingly, okay? So I want to bring out a scripture here, and then I'll write the title on the board. I want to turn and read Isaiah 55. It's a very familiar scripture. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This is the Lord speaking through the mouth of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, I'll just put it this way. I'm thankful that that is true, because I know that my ways would limit myself and limit God and limit other people sometimes. But God has a much bigger and broader perspective than what we have. He knows the potential. He knows the possibilities. He knows His eternal plan of salvation can work wonders in our lives and can reveal things to us and help us to see things clearly and truly from His perspective. Okay? So that's what I want to talk about this morning.
I'll write the title on the board here.
Okay, so I want to talk about God's perspective. So we'll just go back to what we were talking about. As we're going along, cruising along in this road of life, the challenge is sometimes it's hard to pull away from the situation and detach ourselves from whatever we're dealing with, and all we're seeing is these dashed lines that look a certain way, and we're confident something is a certain way because it appears that way, and we make judgments on that, or we make decisions on that, or we react or act, whatever it is, when sometimes the Lord wants us to say, "Child, I want you to get a better perspective of that. You need to ask for," and this would be the Lord speaking, the Lord wants to say, "Child, I want you to have my perspective in this." Now, granted, we're never going to be God, okay? That's not the point. But the point is, God sees things. He's able to, because He's God, all right? And He's overall, and He sees all. And so He's looking at these vast lines. He knows exactly what these are, okay? So when He's looking at our life, He knows exactly where we're at. We don't know, but from our perspective, it looks a certain way, and it can be distorted. But you know, there are ways that we can begin to acquire some of God's perspective. We're never going to see everything exactly like He does, okay? Understand that, because we're human, we're limited. But yet, all through the scriptures, God had a pattern of trying to teach His people how to see things from His perspective. And once they saw things from His perspective, they were able to then trust God in that situation. Say, "Lord, I'm going to remove myself from this and let you work. All right? And I want to step away from this and allow some room and some distance from it where I can kind of get a better perspective of what's really going on. And at the same time, invite you to show me and reveal some things to me. So I just want to use some examples here this morning. Some real life examples. So one of them, and this is something I've heard different ones share over the years. And this has to do with these little devices, our phones. And what I want to talk about specifically is I've heard people talk about struggling with the fact that maybe folks don't return their phone calls or text. And you know, that may sound trivial, but you know what? To some folks, that's a big deal. And I want to say on the onset, if I forgot to return yours, I'm sorry. But the fact of the matter is, we've all done it, okay? Let's just be fair and honest. We've all been there and done that. Whether we get busy, or whether we just forget, or whether we're overwhelmed with something. But you know, some folks struggle with that. And here's what I want to say, because it can go a couple of different ways here. Because some folks struggle with that because they feel like they're being neglected or they're not being heard. And from their perspective, it looks like those little stripes on their road are a certain length and a certain distance apart. In their perspective, that's exactly how it is. You see what I'm saying? But if you can remove yourself from that a little bit and get more of a bird's eye view of it, what happens is you start realizing that, you know what? Maybe I haven't been perfect in that myself. Or maybe so-and-so, you know, they're very busy. And maybe I did call or text them or something. They didn't get back with me quick enough. You know, and so, again, we make a judgment on that. But what happens is when we can remove ourselves from that and not take it personally, that makes a huge difference, all right? We don't feel like that person is intentionally ignoring or neglecting us. It's just how it happened. Maybe they read the text and one of their children did something or something on the job and their attention got pulled away from it and they totally forgot. And maybe hours go by and they finally remember, oh, so-and-so texted me or so-and-so called me. And then maybe it's late at night, like, well, I don't want to disturb him. You see where I'm going with this? Folks, this is called real life, all right? And it's not calling any of us bad or good. It's just things happen this way. But what I want to say is the devil would love to take something like that and turn it into a big issue. For instance, a person could be tempted to go, well, you know, that's not the first time that happened with so-and-so. So, you know what? I'm just curious. How many times has this happened? You see what I'm saying? And the devil can tempt you to go, you know what? Why don't you just go through your phone and just count the number of times? You see what I'm saying? Is that healthy? What you're doing is you're continuing to look at your own perspective. You're not pulling away from it and saying, no, wait, I want to give them some space and some grace here and some mercy, all right? But rather, the devil would love for us to get worked up over something that at first begins to be trivial, but then if we actually go down that path and start counting the number of times that one person, or how about how many people in general have done that to me? You see what I'm saying? It's like, there's no end to it. And it's like, what is that doing? Is that practicing Philippians 4 and 8? No, it's not. You're focusing on the things that, number one, you don't know for a fact that's 100% true that they ignored you because they don't like you. You see what I'm saying? That's what the devil, that's the end result the devil wants us to believe. But if we can pull away from that and say, whoa, wait, you know, maybe it's really not that big a deal, and just drop it and just go on in life and say, you know what? I may have done the same thing myself. Lord, help me, you see. So again, this can be a trivial thing, but I want to pull our minds to an example because I want to say this. Sometimes in life, there may be instances, and I'm just not just talking about texting or phone calls. I'm going on a broad spectrum here. There may be times where people it appears that they intentionally did try to hurt you. Okay? And sometimes it sure appears that way. What are we to do about that? You know, a prime example, and we've talked about this in recent months, but I want to turn and read really quick in Genesis, the 50th chapter. And I want to talk about Joseph in the Old Testament here. Did he have an easy life the first 20 or 30 years? No, he didn't. He had some enemies. And it was his own flesh and blood. Folks, that's tough. But you know, I love the fact that Joseph chose, and you hear the saying, take the high road. Basically, Joseph chose to take God's perspective, okay? And all those times, the difficult things that he went through, he didn't take those things personally. And he could have. And no doubt he struggled through some of those things. But remember what Joseph said when his brothers finally came and revealed who they were, which he already knew, all right? And he revealed to them who he was. And they're like, oh no. And they were bowing down before him. And they're fearful of what Joseph might do because he's the number two man in power and in control. He could have had them killed, thrown in prison for years if he chose to. But you know what? Joseph chose, and it wasn't just this moment here. Joseph had been practicing a pattern of seeking God's perspective, okay? And not just focused on his own little road, his own little stripes on his road, saying, well, this is how it feels, this is the way it looks, and I'm just running with it. He allowed himself to detach from that, so to speak, and try to get God's perspective on it and invite God into that situation and into his heart to help him work through these things. And notice what Joseph is able to say to his brothers. Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, as they were bowing down before him, he said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me. And truly Joseph felt it, and it seemed pretty obvious. But he still didn't take it personally. He said, ye thought evil against me, but God, folks, that phrase right there, but God meant it unto good. How could he say that? To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And we have a more modern, I say modern, in the New Testament, Romans 8 and 28, very familiar scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who are thee called, or to those who love the Lord, who are thee called according to his purpose. The point is, Joseph got a hold of that way back here in Genesis. And you know what, folks? That's a challenge for us today. And I'll just say, you know, not returning phone calls or texts is not near the level of what Joseph went through. They meant to have him ultimately. I mean, they didn't care. Have him killed. Sold as a slave. Forgot about. Totally dumped him. Their own little brother. I can't fathom that. But yet, it says, but God. God worked this for not just Joseph's good, but it was for the good of all of his brothers too. Isn't that how the Lord works? He wants to save all. See, that's the perspective that God has. For God so loved just you and I, just the rich people, just the smart people, just the people that look a certain way? No. For God so loved the world. God loved Joseph's brothers. He still loved them. And God was still trying to work for their good. God loved Joseph's father who was brokenhearted. Okay? God loved all the little children that were involved, the wives, everyone, the people of Egypt. God loved everyone. And so we start putting in that perspective that God loves everyone. Everyone wants to save everyone. He wants to extend his mercy to all mankind. Who are we to be the one to sit there and be judge and say, oh no, but so and so, you see, they didn't do this or they did that or whatever. Folks, that's a challenge. Lord, help us to have a heart like Joseph, to allow and to see from God's perspective. Okay? So that's just one example. I have another one here. And it was actually alluded to in the prayer request this morning. And I think it's a very good request. A request for our nation. And I'm going to broaden it. Not just our nation, but the world over. Because folks, there's a lot of things going on. And there's a lot of things that don't make sense. There's a lot of things that don't seem fair at all. But you know, a person can be consumed with those things as well. If we allowed ourselves to. I feel like God wants us to pray. God wants us to do what we can, obviously. All right? He wants us to be good stewards. All right? Pray for the leaders of our land, so on and so forth. But there's a lot of things. You know, just the general moral decay of the whole world. All the evil that goes on. The children being taken advantage of. The list goes on. And then there's all kinds of catastrophes, whether it's the fires, flooding, you know, the hurricanes. All kinds of natural disasters are terrible. People lose their lives. They lose their jobs, their possessions, all those things. And it seems like these things just continue to increase. But is that a surprise, really? Because the scriptures talk about that. These type of things are going to happen in the last days. But folks, we're not to walk around in fear and intimidation. All right? That's not what God has called us to, okay? And so when we think about our world condition and the condition of our nation, and there's many other things I can list. I'm not going to go into all the details. But I will say this, that there will be times, and we've already felt some of it when we went through the whole COVID issue, where it feels like sometimes we feel like we're being picked on, maybe by the government or whatever. And folks, you know, there may be more things happen in the future. I don't know. Where we may feel more persecution. Or we may feel more alone, so to speak. Because the world is just getting darker, all right? But folks, again, let's not forget that this is not the first nation that has struggled with these type of things, okay? Do you realize, and I know you do, and we're going to read about it a little bit. Remember the story of Daniel in the Old Testament. And if I remember correctly, he lived through 5 kings, I think it was. All kinds of changing of power and authorities in his life. But throughout the course, and even at the beginning, remember the 3 Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And remember the decree that was given by the king to bow, and they didn't? And they were thrown in the fiery furnace? And who showed up with the 3 in the fiery furnace? Who showed up in there? Who was the 4th man? Looked as the Son of God. And the king saw it too and acknowledged it. Folks, oh, what power. God's perspective. You know, no doubt God wanted to, and I'm just assuming here, God wanted to use that event to speak to the king's heart. But what did the 3 Hebrew children have to go through? They got thrown in the fire. But they survived just fine. In fact, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Folks, do you realize that's God's preserving power? That can apply to you and I today. That we don't have to be tainted with the smoke of sin and wickedness. Even though the world is dark around us, God can preserve us through the fire. And at the same time, live a life that is a testimony to those in authority or those around us in our lives. He made it possible for the 3 Hebrew children. And then what about Daniel? Let me get back to Daniel. Remember when the king's decree was not to pray? And then what did Daniel do? He prayed morning, noon, and night. In fact, he just kept right on praying. Because Daniel had a perspective of what God did. Daniel, he remembered what happened with the 3 Hebrew children. He didn't forget that. He was aware of that. Those were his friends. God preserved them. And Daniel's thinking, well, he preserved them. God can preserve me as well. And what was the end of that story? He got thrown in the lion's den. And the Lord shut the mouths of the lions, where he was not consumed. You know, that same God and that same power is there for us today, that we can feel like
Things are can be really adverse, and yes, they can be, folks. But let's step back a little bit and realize we weren't the first people to experience these things. All through the scriptures, people have experienced adversity, challenges, the unknowns, the uncertainties, different ones coming into power and control, and changes here and changes there, and threats here, and warnings over there, and terrorist thoughts over here, and all these things like, oh no, what's next? But folks, let's remember who is in power, who is in control of all this, all right? And who's able to keep us through all of that, okay? So let's not forget that. Now I want to, in fact, I forgot to read a scripture. This is an important scripture I want to read here. In Daniel, the second chapter. Remember after the dream, I want to turn and read that real quick. Daniel 2 and verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So what this scripture is talking about is, folks, we're part of the kingdom that's not left to anyone on this earth to be in power, be in control, to make all these changes and decrees. It's of this earth. And then those kingdoms pass over and over and over again. But there is a kingdom, the kingdom of God, which has never changed, and it's set up, and it will not be passed, will not be left to man. It's God on his throne. It's his kingdom that will last forever. And folks, from God's perspective, we can be a part of that kingdom now and forever. That yes, things are going to change around us, and maybe things we're not happy with or whatever. But let's not lose our vision, all right? Let's get God's perspective and realize, you know what? This life is fleeting. There's something greater I'm actually striving for. Thank the Lord. So I want to finish up with one more example here. And this one could have a lot of different variations. I'm just going to throw it out as a general thought here. But this is something where, as humans, and even as children of God, that are going through life trying to live for the Lord, you realize there's times where we have questions or concerns about the church in general, such as we may think so-and-so should do this or so-and-so shouldn't do that or, you know, whatever, just different things and problems and concerns and questions. But folks, this is not the first time. You can read examples in the New Testament. In the New Testament church, there were some issues that the saints had to work through back then. And they did. They let the Holy Spirit work in their lives, and God brought them all on the same page of unity. And that's a powerful example. But again, sometimes in life, we're going along a little journey of life, and we have our own little perspective, and things seem to be a certain way. And we're like, we got to do something here. I want to remind us of the example of Uzzah in the Old Testament. Remember when he tried to study the Ark of the Covenant? His end wasn't so well. But there was a warning given to that. That, you know, there are a lot of things, I'll just say it this way, that are too big for us. We need to let God take care of the Ark of the Covenant. So the church, okay, and I'm not just saying, the scriptures actually talk about that. That Jesus is the chief cornerstone. That's what our lives are built upon. And he's the head of the church. It's not you or I. It's not mankind. It's Jesus is the head of the church, all right? And what's the other scripture say in Isaiah? That the government shall be upon his shoulder, all right? Not mine, not yours, not anyone else's. It's on the Lord's. And to realize, folks, when we start getting that perspective, that God is the one that sets the members in his body. God is the one that gives inspiration. God is the one that gives the correction or the whatever. God is the one that can speak to people through his Holy Spirit in ways that no man or woman could ever do. The Holy Spirit has such a delicate, personal, perfect way to talk to our hearts individually and privately. Thank the Lord. And folks, that's powerful. And we see the examples in the, I'm not going to read the examples. You can read them for yourself in the book of Acts. Many examples there with the different disciples and Apostle Paul and different ones where they were working through some of these things because it was new to them. But you know what? In the end, God worked them all out because they allowed the Holy Spirit. They allowed God's perspective that God's perfect plan of salvation was not just to save their souls, but to sanctify them through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can visit each and every member to get us, could I say it this way, chiseled on at home, to when we come together collectively, we're all together in the same spirit of unity. Isn't that wonderful? And God fits us together, and it's a beautiful picture, and it works so beautifully. And folks, that's a testament to this dark and lost world. There's folks that long for a belonging, to feel loved and feel needed and a sense of belonging. Folks, that's found in God's church. And from God's perspective, He desires that all receive this wonderful plan, beautiful plan of salvation, that all can have the Holy Spirit teach and instruct us on a personal level every day what to do. And again, the devil would love for us just to focus on our own little perspective. Lord, help us that we might have to pull away from a little bit, look at it from God's perspective, and not take things personally. You know, that's, and again, some of it is personalities. Some people don't take anything personally, and they just run over people. And there's an extreme other side, and some people take everything personally and allow everyone to run over them. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I'm the bad. No, it's not. This is the bad. This is the good. No, it's we're humans. But the Holy Spirit has a way of instructing us through His Word. These are just a few examples I brought up here this morning where God was faithful to His people. In everyday situations, God will be faithful to us as well. So I want to recap it with this way, with these thoughts. Last Sunday, we spoke about the unseen. And one of the things I felt inspired to speak about last Sunday was about, it's not something tangible, but it's something unseen that we can do, and it is all prayer. All right? It mentions there in Ephesians. That we have this power and this capability, each and every one of us personally, that through all prayer, that when we're faced with, when we're tempted to make a list, so to speak, of those that ignored us or did this to us or did that to us, that we could actually make a decision, say, Lord, help me. What do you want me to do here? We could actually start making list of encouraging things. How about answers to prayer or how so-and-so blessed me and all the things they did this and all the things they did this for me? You see what I'm saying? We can flip the script, so to speak, on the devil and say, no, devil, I'm not going to go down that path. I want God's perspective. How would God want me to view this situation? How would God want me to view this person? And Lord, how would you want me to think? And we read the scripture in Philippians 4 and 8. Think on these things. And we start making a list of all those wonderful things. And folks, that's where the power comes. Because we start, then our focus is, we start getting God's perspective. We start looking at the picture as a whole and say, you know what? I'm actually going to pray for so-and-so. Because maybe they are feeling overwhelmed with life. Maybe that's why they didn't respond to me. So, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. And then I'm going to pray for myself, too. You see how we can flip the script on the devil? Where he wants us to attack each other or attack ourselves or attack God. But yet, we can start going about it in a healthy way. The way God instructs us to, folks, it works. There's power in that, okay? And so, considering these things here this morning, Lord, help us to strive and to enjoy God's perspective. Yes. Because if we get used to our own perspective, folks, that can lead us astray. You remember what happened to Judas? He got focused on his perspective. And not only did he betray Jesus in a big way, he betrayed himself. And he lost out on everything. Folks, it doesn't have to be that way. We could rather choose to be like Peter. Peter, yeah, he denied Christ too. But he went out, he wept bitterly. He repented of that. He asked, he prayed, he asked for God's perspective. He didn't understand it all. And God continued to work with him. And remember, he paid him a visit there. After he said, I'm just going to go fishing, Jesus came to them on the seashore there, cooked a little meal for them because they were hungry. Jesus provided for them and spoke to them and told Peter and gave Peter instructions. He's trying to give Peter God's perspective. And oh, I'm so thankful that Peter received that. And he started utilizing God's perspective. When the day of Pentecost came and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, folks, things started happening then. And it was a new Peter, all right? One that was looking from God's perspective, and Peter was willing to forgive others. He was willing to forgive himself. He was willing to put those things behind him and reach to the things before him, all right? And say, Lord, what else do you have for me? How do you want me to help so-and-so? How do you want me to be a blessing over here? Lord, do you want to use me over here? It's God's perspective putting Peter in a position, in a place to work for him. Isn't that beautiful how God does that? And that was just for Peter. There's many others of the apostles and disciples that God used. But folks, it's no different. Today, he wants to use all of us as well. But we have to get God's perspective, okay? And we have to, the focal point has to be on him, not on ourselves and not on someone else, and not on the little stripes on our road here where it looks like, well, they're pretty short. There's not much of a gap there, and that's how it appears to me. So it's just got to be that way. Oh, Lord, help us. We get God's perspective. We see the truth in these things, and he reveals these things to us. Then he can start to ask or think. And just to think that we take an initiative to make a decision and to go through all prayer, all right, and then allow God, trust God for that situation and seek him for it and allow him to work. Then in the end, he works above and beyond like I never imagined, because we're so short-sighted, folks. We can't comprehend what God, but God has something so much bigger for us, so much better for us. We limit ourselves. We limit God. But Lord, help us to have his perspective where he can work abundantly in our personal and everyday lives. You pray for me that I would do this accordingly. Amen.